Welcome to the final call for Everyday Mindfulness. This is week four, and this week we are wrapping everything up. There's still a week of excitement with eating your way to peace with mindful eating, and also a video on loving kindness. On a meditation of loving kindness, or loving kindness meditation. Metta is the other name for it. So we're going to be talking a little bit about those, and a little bit about bringing mindfulness, you know, kind of pulling it all together, bringing the mindfulness into your everyday life. Some very specific examples, just in one place. I know we've been talking about it throughout the course. But just wrapping it up as well. So what we've talked about so far is we've talked about that awareness of breath, right? That was our basic foundation. And then we talked about coming to your senses using not just your breath, but also the sensations of your body, taste, touch, sound, that all of those were, smell is another one, that all of those senses could be used to bring you back to the present moment, to bring you back to being here in the now. And then we also talked about movement last week, that possibility of moving, taking it up a little bit to a more challenging level of being mindful during movement, and how to also be mindful during compassionate listening. So we've been building each week on things that are a little more challenging, and along the way talking about also resistance and responding and reacting, as well as gratitude. So this final week, I wanted us to focus on eating and being present with food. And I kind of went back and forth whether movement should be last or eating should be last, but I think that my experience in the world around food and what other people do around food is that it can be kind of the place where we lose most consciousness, that we go to either use food for distraction, distracting us from our emotions, distracting us from the way we feel in our body, whether that be grabbing caffeine for feeling more energy or sweets for when we're feeling sad, or not knowing what we're feeling and wanting to just stuff it down with food. So this practice can begin on a very basic level of just eating mindfully, even if you're not necessarily eating during an emotional time, but just noticing what you're eating and bringing all of your awareness to eating. So that's what the video goes over in some detail, is a practice of eating with mindful eating exercise with raisins. But this can be done for anything. It can be done while you're drinking your tea in the morning or your coffee. It can be around, you know, a certain time at night that you always snack. But it's interesting, one of my clients was saying, gosh, you know what I didn't notice was that I'm eating even though I'm not really hungry. And that can be the case with a lot of people, is where we tend to eat sometimes when we're not hungry, out of habit, for emotional distress. You know, all of those are reasons that we might reach for sweets or salt or both. Depends for individuals. Everybody seems to have their own preference of what brings them comfort, what brings them a little relief from feeling their emotions. So one of the things that I'd like you to do this week is to practice. And I think that this can be really challenging for some people. And so my encouragement, as always, is to be as kind to yourself as you can while doing this particular practice. That the point is not to do it perfectly or to do it well or to win the mindfulness championship of the world, but just to start bringing some awareness to it and to find a way that will help remind you to eat in a mindful way. So, you know, this is going to be, again, this is going to be different for each person. First part that you might want to notice is, where do you eat less mindfully? So for me, I notice that at work, that's where I tend to eat, you know, with the least mindfulness. When I'm with my children, we're at dinner, it's usually a little more relaxed. But lunch can be sometimes squeezed between meetings. And so that practice, you know, is a little bit more challenging at that particular mealtime. When I'm at home or it's on the weekends, it's a lot easier. Breakfast is another one that's easier for me, but lunch tends to be really hard. And for a long time, it used to be also about nighttime snacking. I would pop in, you know, be making the kids' lunches, and all of a sudden I'd realize I'd eaten, you know, half a bag of pretzels or, you know, even if it was the fruit that I was eating that I'd been putting in their lunch or carrots, it was an unconscious activity that happened that I would just wake up at the end of making lunches and say, like, I wasn't even hungry. Why did I put that in my mouth? Why did I eat the strawberries? It's fine to eat, but it was just not what I had wanted to do. So finding a way to bring awareness in a loving, kind, compassionate way for yourself. Maybe it's one meal a day. Maybe it's just the first 5 minutes of a meal that you're mindful. You can also bring your family in on this. If you have children, you can ask them, tell them what you're doing, and ask them if they would be willing to savor their food. This is something even my six-year-old has. You know, he's picked up that he didn't pick up mindfulness so much, but savoring. So that when we say, you know, well, you know, are you interested in this? And he's like, yeah, I'm going to save it. I'm going to savor it. I want to savor it. So when even a six-year-old can pick up on bringing that mindfulness, bringing that awareness to eating. So I'd like for you to try it. Notice what happens. Just become aware. Maybe it's just noticing which meal or what happens, where are you eating, when are you eating. Maybe it's just bringing that awareness to it for a day or two and then saying, okay, I notice, you know, I'm eating in the car, I'm eating my breakfast in the car on the way, and I'm not very mindful when I'm doing that. But that's a really hard one for me, so maybe I'm going to bring it to lunch, or maybe I can figure out a way to eat mindfully at home before I get in the car. So making those observations, noticing what comes up, and then being as kind to yourself when you notice, oh gosh, I'm not mindful during any of my meals. I'm totally zoned out. And that's okay, right? Because the first piece is noticing. It's noticing what's there. When I first became a vegetarian, it was suggested not to change anything in my diet, but just to notice what I was doing, just to notice what happened during mealtime, and just to, again, we'll go back to that gratitude piece we were talking about in last week's call, bringing gratitude for the food that is there. So one way that you can bring an awareness, a mindfulness to your food is being aware of all of the trips, all the steps that had to take for that food to be in front of you. So even if you, let's say you made a meal at home and you think about the vegetables, you know, the spinach that had to be grown somewhere and harvested and packaged and brought to your doorstep. Or maybe you grow your own food and you're aware of all the love and kindness that you put into growing your own food. Or maybe you went to a restaurant. You think about the people who prepared your food. You know, if you happen to eat meat, maybe you give thanks to those animals that gave their lives for you to eat that meat. Like that awareness, when I was first learning how to eat mindfully, is actually what shifted me into eating a vegetarian diet. As I gave thanks to the animals, I realized I actually couldn't eat it anymore. So that was an interesting shift for me in my own experience many years ago of being grateful for that food and then realizing it, my awareness of it actually shifted how and what I ate. So sometimes for individuals who are trying to cut out sugar when they work with me, is that they might just say, you don't have to actually stop eating sugar. Just notice, when are you eating it? What thoughts are happening when you go to eat sugar? You know, what kind of things are you craving? What's the connection, right? So there can be a really deep emotional piece to this mindfulness as well, which is why I decided, as I mentioned, to have this as the last week. So I'd be curious to see what you notice as you practice bringing awareness and mindfulness to your food. So post in the Facebook group or send me a message and let me know what you see. And then the second piece that was part of this week's assignment was loving kindness meditation. So that's another practice that we can use. And I, as I mentioned in the video, you can do this, you know, in a meditation, or you can do this as you're driving down the road and you see someone, or if you're thinking about someone, if you're having a rough time, to send that loving kindness, or, you know, as my children are falling asleep at night, I send them loving kindness as they're falling asleep. So it doesn't have to be like because something bad's happening or because they're struggling. It can just be, gosh, may you be well, may you be safe, may you be free from suffering, right? I wish that for everyone in the world, and I wish that for myself as well. So that practice can be really powerful practice to give to yourself each and every day when you're struggling, even while, you know, if you notice, gosh, I'm eating at night and I don't want to be eating at night, or I'm eating things I don't really want to be eating, like, you know, I struggled for years with a sugar addiction. And to just give yourself that compassion, that loving kindness for the person who is struggling so hard in whatever situation it is. So also, so part of your homework is practicing that loving kindness as well, whether sitting and listening to a loving kindness meditation or in practicing it as you go. So let's even just stop here for a moment, pause here, and just practice sending yourself a little loving kindness. So I'll say a few phrases. If you haven't watched the video yet, these are the phrases that you'll hear during the video. So just first check in with your breath, and check in with your body. Find how your breath feels at the edge of the nostrils, or the chest, or the rise and fall of the belly. And as you notice your breath, notice the quality of the breath and any sensations in your body. Is your breath rapid? Is it fast? Is it slow? You can just start by, if it feels right, to either sending yourself or someone else loving kindness. May be well. May be safe. May be free from suffering. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live in joy and peace. So see if you can kind of let that land for yourself, if you were giving it to yourself. And that phrase of may you be free from suffering, for me, is a really powerful statement. You know, that suffering that can sometimes be self-imposed, as our thoughts can run around. So that practice can be used at any time. While you're walking, you can use that instead of breath awareness, but coming back to a loving kindness. And there's great, as I mentioned earlier in the video, there's great research around offering that loving kindness to yourself and to others, that it actually does change the pattern of the brain, the way that the brain fires and activates. So the final piece, so we've done eating and we've talked about loving kindness. The final piece that I wanted to talk about today is to talk about bringing these acts of mindfulness into your everyday life, just kind of dedicate a space for that. We've been talking about it throughout, but sometimes just saying like, okay, let's pull it all together into one integrated piece can be helpful. So we talked last week about using gratitude as one of those pieces. So you can have a gratitude journal where every day, or gratitude practice, it doesn't even have to be that you write it down. And some of my friends will use social media as a gratitude journal, that they just type three things or one thing that they're grateful for. And it can be as simple as the breath, you know, or that you have a roof over your head, that you have running water, or it can be, you know, something specific that happened, that you worked really hard on a project and you finished it today. So noticing, like being aware of what comes up, the mind's tendency to come up with what didn't go right during the day, and a gratitude, again, there's great evidence that demonstrates the change in the neural firing based on practicing. And it's actually, it's the searching for the gratitude that's been kind of linked to this. Like, it doesn't even matter what you're grateful for. You know, you're grateful for the color of the walls in your house, or that you, you know, that your kid, you know, didn't spit dinner back up at you. You know, it can be any of those. It's the searching. So it's important to look every day for new things and not just say, well, I've got clothes, I've got a house, I've got a car. That's great. Okay, I'm really grateful. But it's like, okay, something new or something that went right during the day. So that's one way, is using that gratitude journal. Another way that most of us take showers pretty regularly or baths, and to use the act of something that you do regularly, like taking a shower. So the example can be, you can use the breath. You can always use the breath for a mindfulness example. And it can be a full sense awareness too. So you step into the shower, you know, how does the water feel on your skin? So you can kind of imagine, like, what's the feeling of, you know, assuming it's kind of nice warm water, or maybe it's cold. What does that feel like? What's the sound of the water as it's, the water is running? What are the smells, you know, the smell of your soap, shampoo? How does that feel? What's the sensation of as you're lathering, you know, as you're using soap, or if you're a male and you're shaving, or those, that sudsy, slippery feeling, or the feeling of the water, as I mentioned before. What feelings, you know, what's the sensation that you have? What's the temperature as you get out of the shower? You know, if you use a washcloth, or what's the feel of the towel? What are your thoughts while you're in the shower? Noticing, being mindful of, oh, look at that. I already want to start planning my day in the shower. Or, gosh, I'm off thinking about something that happened 3 years ago. Isn't that interesting? Bringing that curiosity and that presence. And sometimes it can just be a nice reminder of, you know, oh, right, I'm being mindful during this time. So you can practice in the same way that you practice bringing yourself to your breath, you can practice bringing yourself back to the sensations of the shower. So that's one example, the shower. We mentioned brushing your teeth before. So brushing your teeth is a great one because usually it's only 2 minutes. So it's nice to, or less. Some people brush their teeth for less. But if you have one of those great, you know, electric toothbrushes that has a timer on it, it's fantastic for another point during the day to bring yourself back to mindfulness. And again, you know, what way can you remind yourself at, until this becomes more of a habit, until it becomes associated with it? So we know that once we build an association, it's likely to be paired together once those neurons have been fired together for long enough and they build a strong enough network. So perhaps it's a note on your shower door or next to your toothbrush, you know, depending on what you choose. But then again, as you imagine, as you're brushing your teeth, the feeling of squeezing the toothpaste tube and having the toothpaste on your brush. What's the sound of the water as you turn on the water on the toothbrush? What about if you do have an electric toothbrush, what's the sound of the toothbrush, the feeling of the toothbrush against each and every tooth? The taste of the toothpaste, the texture, the feeling of your feet planted against the floor. What does your floor feel like? What does your body feel like as you're brushing your teeth? Is it different in the morning and night? You know, the movement of your arm as you brush your teeth. So again, just bringing as much awareness, and again, you can still just use the breath. Where's the breath during this task? What thoughts are coming in? Am I reviewing my day? Am I planning my day? Can I just be with the sensations? So again, just as a reminder that what we're doing is building the muscle of attention so that we can direct our attention where we want it to go. When you bring your attention back to whatever it is, that helps build the muscle. It's like lifting a weight, right? So when you say, oh, no, I'm paying attention to, I'm thinking about, you know, the baseball game I got to get my kids to later on today, and how am I going to leave work early enough, right? So you can notice, oh, there are the thoughts. Oh, I'm planning. And then come back to your breath. Bring your attention back to, okay, right. Oh, I noticed that the suds, there's not as many bubbles today. Maybe I didn't, maybe there's a difference in the toothpaste. Maybe you changed the toothpaste. Maybe you didn't use as much today, right? Maybe you notice that you have resistance to brushing your teeth or flossing or whatever comes up. But that practice of being aware and coming back over and over again is what builds the awareness muscle. Another example would be commuting. We've talked about driving in the car. So if you have a commute, this is an excellent opportunity. Thich Nhat Hanh used to talk about using every stoplight as a reminder to come back to the breath. So you can use external, like when I get to the stop sign or the stoplight, I'm going to come back to my breath. You can also use the feeling of the steering wheel within your hands. You can use your breath. What does it feel like to be sitting in the car? Thinking about noticing your own thoughts, what you're thinking, what thinking comes up. Noticing the people around you. You could use loving kindness. You could send loving kindness. Or you could also be thinking about, oh, these are people and they're having their own thoughts, right? So you could just be aware of that there are these other people with their own lives that they're moving in a parallel universe to. They're in the same world, but they're having their own universe of their thoughts and their sensations and their emotions and what's going on in their lives. You know, we're all just doing the best we can each day. So sometimes, as I mentioned, just sending that loving kindness to them. Similarly, if you're standing in line, coming back to the breath in line, feeling your feet planted against the floor, noticing your thoughts. This is always such a good one for me because I have the voice of hurry up in my head. Oh, I've got to hurry up. I've got to get somewhere. That's a pretty consistent storyline of that I'm running late or I need to hurry up or why are these people taking so long, right? And that's another great opportunity for me to send loving kindness, for me to pause in my breath, for me to do a body scan, to check in with my body, to see what's available right now, what feelings or emotions are here, right? So it's great. Standing in line is such a great opportunity. Or sitting, you know, if you're sitting in your car in a drive-through line too. But or if you have slow internet, it could be while you're waiting for the internet to load. Those are all possibilities or a meeting to start, right? So there are countless ways during our day, and the key is to find those and go, oh, right, this is a reframe. This is a chance for me to be available to myself and to be present in this moment. Another one would be in anything that has to do with the house, right? Picking up the kids' toys. Byron Katie is an author that she talked about that how picking up her children's socks, she used to yell and argue and tell them, you have to clean up and you have to pick up after yourself. And when she realized that what was making her miserable were her thoughts about the socks, when she was aware of that, the book that she wrote is called Loving What Is, and she has an amazing practice that she gives to the world basically for free. It's quite inspiring. But she used that opportunity of picking up her socks of her children and her family and of dirty clothes around and watching her own thoughts then of, what am I thinking? Who would I be without that thought that they need to pick up their own socks? And that when she stopped nagging them to pick up their socks and was just using that as a tool for herself, that her family actually started picking up their own laundry, that was that shift of being willing to do your own work. Why is this bothering me? What can I do about this instead of trying to control other people? Which is fascinating to me, and it's part of the mindfulness, is that we can't really control other people. We can say what's true for us. We can talk about, gosh, I'd really wish someone else would pick up those socks. But in reality, we can't ever really make that happen. We can ask, we can request, we can do lots of things, but the trick is it something that makes you lose your peace? Do you lose your peace over asking other people to do things and them not doing it? And then is it worth it? So one of my teachers always said, it's never worth losing your own peace. So that comes up a lot because we're often dealing with family, could be children, could be spouses, it could be roommates, parents, all of that. A lot of people have, that I know now, have parents coming to live with them. due to age and illness. So watching our own thoughts and being present in our own stuff instead of theirs can be extremely freeing. So an example when we're at home could be doing the dishes, right? Whether it's loading the dishwasher or actually washing the dishes, feeling the soap, feeling the water, the breath. You can always use the breath. But what does the dish feel like in your hand? What does it feel like when your arm is moving to scrape the food off? How does it feel to place it in the dishwasher? How does it feel if you're actually got the warm, sudsy water in the sink and you're washing it? That those possibilities, again, your feet on the floor, your breath, your muscles and your legs as you're standing, how does that feel in your body? And this can be true also for any housework piece, right? Sweeping, mopping, vacuuming, the yard work, mowing the lawn, raking leaves, folding clothes, getting your children dressed in the morning. One of my teachers, a Swami in the integral yoga tradition, he would say, as you dress your children in the morning when they were very little and I would be helping them to get dressed, use that as a practice for mindfulness to come back. So it was putting, the shirt over the head of my child. It was like you're dressing your beloved, you're dressing the divine, this amazing miracle, whether that be your, my grandmother when she was alive was here in Athens in a care facility. And when I went to visit her, it was, how can I be of service? How can I help? Sometimes it was dressing her or cleaning her. So it was dressing or cleaning the divine, this image and likeness of myself. How can I give that person full presence while I'm there in the moment? So all of those are possible. And again, it may not be that you do this 24 hours a day. That's, to go from not doing it at all to doing it 24 hours a day is what? So perhaps it's a few moments. Perhaps it's one activity at home, one meal, or maybe it's washing dishes at night, and set your reminder, a post-it note, an alarm on your phone. Maybe you get your kids in on it too. Again, as we did with talk about with eating, maybe you say, I'm going to try to feel what it feels like to really sweep the deck. Would you do that with me? And if they say no, then you can say, okay, it's not a big deal if they do or they don't. But maybe, my children tend to be my greatest reminders because they will say, oh, remember, Mommy, we're supposed to be doing this. And they will help to remind me that it's time to, they don't always call it mindfulness, but it's time to come back to we haven't done gratitude at the table. Why, let's remember to do that again. Or reminders before going to sleep. So those are some examples. And the final one I wanted to talk about is mindful working. And I think we've mentioned this before as well during the course. But how can you bring mindfulness to something that you're doing on a regular basis so that your life becomes the reminder? So that you have ample opportunities throughout the day to be in the present without having to fit in another piece or, another activity. Oh, I've got to write in my journal for 23 minutes today. What about just saying, well, I have to be at work anyway. How can I be mindful for this 5 minutes, for this task? And then set a timer. There are great apps that you can use for mindfulness. One that I think of is Insight Timer. That one is free, and I know I've used that just for having a timer. It logs how often. You know, I use it for meditation. If I'm sitting in meditation, it'll log how often I'm in meditation. But I also use it for yoga so I can keep track of, oh, I missed yoga yesterday. Huh, isn't that interesting? I wonder what happened. How did I get talked out of that? So using the technology that we have, if you have an Apple Watch, it's a great way, or a Fitbit, you know, you can use that to set reminders for yourself, to pair things together. So we've covered a lot. We've talked about eating. We've talked about loving kindness. And we've talked about bringing it into your everyday life. So again, I just want to encourage you to be as gentle with yourself as you can as you're integrating all of this together, that you have lots of resources and you have these calls and the videos that you can go back to remind yourself of how you want to be. So use these tools to help remind yourself. Use the fake Facebook page to come back to, or send me a message if you're having trouble or need support with, gosh, you know, I used to remember to eat mindfully and I've forgotten. So feel free to get back in touch with me and let me know how it's going. Let me know if you need support. And I hope that as you move through this final week, that you're able to watch what resistance comes up, to use your skills that you've learned in the 4 weeks, and to practice this eating mindfully and your loving kindness, and then bringing it into your everyday life. So thank you all so much for being here, and I look forward to hearing how this final week goes. Take good care of yourself. Bye-bye.